Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's 9 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. Shortly we'll be catching up with Mawlana Ashraf Dokrat, who's currently in India, and he visited a few bookstores, and also he was part of a Fiqh Academy conference. We'll bring you more of that inshallah in a few moments. And at about 9:30, we continue with our discussion on Makkatul Mukarramah with Mufti Zubair Bayyat. The SMS line to the program, 48855, it's 48855. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number, 0727861548. It's 16 minutes past the hour of 9, you are listening to Radio Islam International. We catch up now with Mawlana Ashraf Dokrat, who is currently in India. And inshallah, he'll be bringing us up to speed with what's happening on his side and the places he visited, and the book fairs that he was part of also. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
It's 9:17 Central African time, Mawlana. What time is it there in India at the moment?
Mawlana, it's lunch time. It's quarter to one.
Subhanallah. Mawlana, give us an update on what's happened on your side, when you left, and where the places you visited.
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were able to attend the 25th Islamic Fiqh Academy meeting. This was held this year in an area, you know, it's an annual Fiqh Academy seminar that is held in different areas of India. And this year in particular, it was held in area called Assam, and Assam is in the northeast of India. It actually is on the other end, so to say, of Bangladesh, so quite remote. We had to travel by plane to Calcutta and catch a connecting flight then from Calcutta to a small airport in that part of the world called Silchar. And the 25th Fiqh Academy seminar was held under the auspices of the Islamic Fiqh Academy, which is headed up, we know, by Maulana Khalid Saifullah Rahmani, our ulama in the past from South Africa. Our Mufti Zubair Saf is a regular there. I have attended and always supported it. In fact, the interesting thing is that when Qazi Mujahidul Islam came to South Africa, and ulama asked him questions, and then a group of advocates and doctors asked him questions, this actually was the germ in his mind then, and set the ball going for these type of fixed seminars, and it's out of that that alhamdulillah they've had now 25 successful fixed seminars like this. And Mawlana, they are highly organized, you know. The questions and topics are decided on 6 months ago already. People respond, questions are prepared, a discussion document is prepared for each of those set of questions. If I can, for example, Mawlana, this year there were five very interesting topics. The one was regarding the Ahlul Kitab, and Masail regarding the Ahlul Kitab. So within that topic then there would be several sub topics. For example, you know, we often hear that, and many of our brothers who are involved in dawah work and activities say, you know, we can trace back that Hindus had a prophet, you know. Now the question is, does this make them Ahlul Kitab? And so that is one of the type of topics that they will discuss, and several other masail, linked to the Ahlul Kitab were discussed under the, in that one session. There was another session regarding, very importantly, regarding ikhtilaf-e rai. In other words, we deal with differences of opinion, and wahdat-e ummah, in other words, unity of the ummah, especially in the context of minorities. Being in a Muslim majority country has its own dimension, and being in a Muslim minority country where you have division that can be created from outside forces, and also division that can easily lead to bloodshed and other type of problems, and can be used by people for nefarious ends, becomes an issue. And so there were some very important you know, decisions that were taken regarding that as well. Then the whole question of you know, bain al-mazahib muzakarat, in other words, discussions between and forums that discuss interfaith dialogue and all of that type of thing. And this has always been a problematic issue. We know that people use it for perennialism, spreading ideas of wahdat-e adyan and all types of things. So some very important usul and some very important principles regarding how we should engage non-Muslims in these type of discussions, and what type of discussions are permitted, what type of discussions are not permitted, how we need to be careful, and what is the fiqhi implications of these meetings. Yeah, but really, Mona, the level of discussion was exceptional. You could see that people had prepared very well for it. What happens is the muftis send their responses. There's a khulasa, a summary of all the responses that is prepared. Then somebody comes and does a presentation. He presents the masala, and he chooses one type of opinion. Then the discussion is open to the floor. And later on, resolutions are taken, and there's a formulation committee for each of the subsections. They formulate the final resolutions. A first discussion was about regarding the invalids and people who are old, and concerning them, old age homes was something that was discussed, and this very very topical type of things, especially in environment that we live in. And finally, there was a question that came from a fiqh academy in Palestine that had the problem about talaq al-ghadban, the talaq of the person who's very very angry, and what is the masala regarding him, and whether he falls into the category of the majnoon, how do we classify that. So that was discussed as well, Mona. But all in all, the place is Badarpur, Mona, in Assam, a very remote area, as I said, relatively undeveloped, apart from some tea plantations and a few other things. But the people are absolutely hospitable, Mona. You can't believe the ulama there. In the past, there was a person, a very influential person, Maulana Abdul Jalil Chaudhry, who was a disciple of Maulana Madni Rahmatullahi Alayh, and he was a person who moved for a united India. He left Bangladesh under persecution. He came here, he was persecuted here as well, but he removed a great deal of the khurafat and bid'at that was there among the people, established the deen very much, established within the people the love of for the ulama. And this is very very clear. I mean, people love their leaders, they appreciate what they do for them, he has passed on now, and his work is continued by another very charismatic leader, Maulana Tayyib ar-Rahman. Maulana Tayyib ar-Rahman Qasmi is for a long time now a member of the All India Muslim Personal Law Board, and is a leading figure in the area. He is the Amir of the Imarat Sharia in that area, and he was basically our host, Maulana. And you can't believe what hospitality was shown to us. Alhamdulillah, Maulana Ahmad Sataria was with me. I had the good fortune of being in his company, and he's a regular also, Maulana Ahmad Sataria, and he alhamdulillah, these people really went out of their way to look after us and to care for us. We in that area they have make a great amount of ikram for the ulama. Just to give you an idea, Maulana, on the Jummah, which was an open session, there was 40,000 people there,
SubhanAllah.
The grounds. On the Sunday, when the session was closed, on Sunday before Zuhr, and after that, they said we should come to an open type of session, where it's a public session, and each person should get a chance to address the public. They had been waiting there from the morning, to take up their places, and by the time the guests spoke to well into the evening after Isha, there were 140,000 people. It's just amazing to see them come with so much desire and so much interest to come and listen to the talks and listen to the ulama. A unique place with the amount of thirst for Islamic knowledge, and May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase and increase them in what they do. But then alhamdulillah, we had an opportunity to fly back to Delhi. So we came to Delhi, and some of the ulama, the muftis, were also moving in that same direction. And really, Maulana, at this conference, I'm sure Maulana Zubair, Mufti Zubair Saab, and even Maulana Sateria will tell you that some of the leading muftis of India attend this conference, and it is a great opportunity that during the tea time and during lunch and what have you, to actually speak to them, and one gets an understanding of the type of work they do. And they influence in the community, and one realizes that in Muslim minority situations, the role of the mufti is really needs to be emphasized in the way they shape the thought and the way they shape the ideas and influence the communities in which they live and in which they work. One another. It's really quite remarkable to see the type of work that these people do. In any case, when we made our way back to Delhi, and then I took a train to Saharanpur.
Hmm.
And I stayed right next to the old madrasa, the Qadim, the Saharanpur Waqf, the Qadim madrasa, and I had a good opportunity, alhamdulillah, of visiting ulama there. As well as the library, you can imagine. The library is really there. Is a fascinating place. There's manuscripts, there's old books, there's a storehouse of and a treasure house of Islamic literature, and there are a number of young ulama who are very interested in looking after and preserving and making available these type of materials to any scholars. We also had an opportunity of visiting the Jadid. We met with the famous hadith master, Sheikh Yunus Jaunpuri, Dawud Barakatu, and sat for a while with him. His room itself, Monahana, he's a 75 or whatever old man, and he's surrounded by his books, you see, which is he's put into plastic bags so that they're preserved in some way, and hundreds of books literally right around him in all sorts of shapes and sizes fill the shelves around him, and the library in that madrasa, the Saharanpur madrasa, the Jadid madrasa, is also very, very well organized. The people there are very helpful. They have a number of manuscripts that they have on display, and they ready to share information. This is the good thing. If a researcher, if somebody needs to know something, and people come from the Western world, you find professors coming from universities in the West, in Europe, and they come to research and to look for materials in these libraries, Molana. Just as I was passing by one of the small nooks in that library, and I came across a jildsaz, a person who was restoring books in a very traditional type of way. He had learned from a master before him. He said that he was doing this now for the last 32 years. He was restoring books. And he was very, very fascinated with his art and very passionate about it. And he showed me how a torn page, he's able to restore a torn page and what have you. So you can see the people who do the work there are really people who love what they're doing and love to be around books and love to serve those who want to research and want to do books. We went to the famous library in Deoband, and that needs no introduction, Morana. They've got a wonderful manuscript collection, and what impressed me about Deoband is when one comes into, just before you enter the hall that contains the manuscript collection, there are a number of separate bookcases that have the works of the famous ulama and the writings and the actual books are there on display. So at a glance one can see the literary contribution of these giants really there. From there, Molana, we went to another. I hope you've still got some time, Molana. We went to a number of places. We went to, alhamdulillah, we had opportunity of visiting Thana Bowen, and Thana Bowen also, and the madrasa at Thana Bowen is very, very well kept. It's got a good library, and it's got obviously all the history then related to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. One can get taken aback by visiting Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's house, standing at the same place and in the same room where Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote Bayan al-Quran from a type of a loft in his house. It's really quite humbling, and one makes one prays that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us also the fahm and the understanding of the Quran the Kareem as we pass through these places where people have served the Quran in this way, and like that to see Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's house, his khanka. And there we were shown a sundial that dates up to 1902 that was in Tanabawan, and it's now on display there. It shows clearly the Salah times and also the time of Ghurub and Ishraq, the sunrise time. So these type of fascinating artifacts pieces are scattered throughout your trip. I mean, you can't imagine, Mara, what type of things are around. Also, Mara, then we visited Khandla, and this was very, very interesting for me, because this was not a madrasa per se. There's a madrasa later on that the famous saint who lives at Khandla, Mara Iftikhar Sap Damat Barakatu, has established. But the house and the complex where the family, the famous family at Khandla stay, have their own collection, a private collection. And this private collection, is really quite fascinating, because it's not at one place, it's in different parts of the house. And alhamdulillah, it's very fortunate, Maulana Nurul Hassan Rashidi, who is son of Maulana Iftikhar Sab, who is this great saint that people go and visit. He's 97 years old at the moment. He's seen six generations of his family, and he's part of that legacy, carries that legacy of the Khandla and of the family there, the pious family there. Maulana Nurul Hassan Rashidi gave us access to that, and alhamdulillah we were able to see some of the manuscripts that are there, very, very valuable type of materials. Even a farman, Maulana, they have farman with them there from the, in other words, the royal decrees from the sultans and the moguls regarding the land and the place where they are and all of that. So this is really a very interesting family. We know that the link is very close. I mean, most of us go to Nizamuddin, but everybody in Nizamuddin is linked to Khandla at the end of the day. Maulana Muzaffar Hussain started off doing dawah work, and then he that was followed by Maulana Ismail, and eventually Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi. So in a sense, I was quite blessed to do that whole journey from Maulana Muzaffar right to Maulana Ilyas when we came to Nizamuddin later, Maulana, alhamdulillah. This is really a treasure cove of information. Many researchers, again, from Western countries, all of that, people doing research, come and visit Khandla just because of this private library here. The masjid there, that is called Mauliyan, that masjid has seen all the pious people. They said there isn't a pious person in India who hasn't prayed at that masjid there. Right across from the masjid is a Darul Uloom that is where Ta'aleem was taking place, that is older than Dioband and any other madrasa that we are linked to. This is where it all started, really. So this was, and I was very fortunate to be there with one of the Iftikhar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. We took ijazah also. We got an opportunity to read a few hadith from Bukhari Sharif and take ijazah from one of the Iftikhar Rahmatullah Ali. Damat Barakatu there with him, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in his life and let him spread, inshallah. Well, then we were able to go. Along the way, one has to pass by Shamli, and Shamli is where that in 1857, the famous Indian Revolt, so-called Indian Revolt, took place, where Muslim forces faced the British, and we know ulama were killed at that occasion. The sad thing is, Maulana, that at Shamli there is nothing that marks the place or marks the Maidan where the Battle of Shamli took place. One really wishes that that Muslims or somebody, some ulama group, or somebody mark that that place and at least have some sort of sign to commemorate the great services of the ulama and of ulama who we hold in great regard for their resistance against the British. That would have been something good to see and something good to note, Maulana. So that was it, Maulana. We were able to go to these places, Saranpur, Jioban, Kandla, Thana Bhavan. We went to Jalalabad, obviously, and we went to the very, very serene and peaceful place, you know, where Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali is buried, Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Sherwani. We met some of his descendants. We also had an opportunity to spend some time and sit in the hall and in the place where he would have his majlis, the majlis gown. Although Hazrat has passed, Hazrat Ji has passed away so many years ago, one still finds that places have a great deal of serenity and sinitwa. I returned to Saranpur and when we got into India, well, and I must say, just when we got into India, I had a one-day stay at Calcutta. And it so happened that on that day, was the Calcutta Book Fair. Now, the Calcutta Book Fair, as soon as I saw this good coincidence that I was on the same day, I had a free day, and it was at the Calcutta Book Fair. We spent the day at the Calcutta Book Fair, but it was fascinating to see what the magnitude of this book fair is. They claim that it's in terms of square, it's the biggest book fair in the world. So, you know, there's hall after hall and display after display of books in all languages, a large number of English books. They have facilities there for visitors that actually fit in very well to the India type of visit, the type of food that is from these vendors, you know, that of Indian delicacies and foods. They provide free water, drinking water, bottled drinking water to all people. There are a number of book readings, poetry recitals, discounts running at certain times, authors that you can meet. And people come in bus, you know, walking. And it's absolutely accessible to the ordinary person. These things are not pegged at only the very... or people who can afford to buy wealthy books, expensive books, because the books are cheap. We know in India the books are relatively cheap, and you find that youngsters come there from universities, from schools, buying books, and people from across the spectrum of the community come and do their book buying from there. But it's quite interesting to see what a good number of what a great interest people have in reading and in buying books. And there's scores of publishers there, all advertising their books, from big publishers like Oxford and others. Oxford India is quite big, and they have books at very, very good price. They have, and the atmosphere is really, really very, very good. So the Muslim booksellers are have big displays, very, very big displays as well. This, you know, you probably know that Ishaat from Delhi, Darul Ishaat, they also have their display there. It's limited to Indian publishers, but in any case, it's quite a wide selection one has.
I hope you have purchased books for myself, Maulana.
Maulana, actually, you know, I think that Allah Ta'ala forgive the person who has created this regulation that internal flights you only around 15 kilograms, whatever. I make dua for his maghfirah, really. That's all I can say, because this is a big problem. When internal flights you only around 15 kilograms, and then you have to fly out with you're allowed more, but this is
just get a handbook really for me, inshallah, not a problem.
Just a small book. No, I'm sure we can find something for you, Malala.
Inshallah. Sure we can get something for you. Malala, Mufti Zubair Bayat is we are unable to get hold of him, so that means you still have more grace. And if you would like to touch on more things, like for example, Nizamuddin and madrasas you are seeing, but maybe you can give us some details.
Malala, Nizamuddin, alhamdulillah, we were able to go to Nizamuddin and spend some time at the Markaz. I was very fortunate, alhamdulillah, to meet, as soon as I entered the Nizamuddin, we obviously go and look for South African students. At any one time, just last week, they reported there were 50 students at Nizamuddin at the time. Now, I think that really is something, it says a lot about South Africa and the type of effort that is taking place. And the type of they spend by our young people who are doing, getting jamaats ready and getting people very, very encouraging. We met youngsters there, Molana. They had just come out of matric. They were from Indonesia, and so many good things to say about their experiences. And they were so enthusiastic. Alhamdulillah, they'd mostly all come back from Bangladesh. There's another lot from Pretoria, from our own group of 9 students. That are making their way also from Rai Choti from near Bangalore, also back to Nizamuddin. But the area where the South Africans are sleeping is full, Malana, alhamdulillah. And they're going on the next tashkil. Most of the students now, of the 100 students that got ready during this last holidays, they make their way now, inshallah, to take them all safely and keep them all well. And really, we must take our hats off to the zimmedars who from South Africa are going and meeting up with them and giving them encouragement on the way, keeping their spirits up and giving them good advice, Molana, alhamdulillah. They were all very, very fascinated by what they saw at the Tongi Istima. They couldn't stop speaking about their experiences at the Tongi Istima. In any case, when we went into the Markaz, we were fortunate to hear some of the bayans by the elders, including the Hayatul Salah, which is done every day after Isha Salah by Mawlana Saad, and Mawlana Saad draws a great crowd to the Hayatul Sahaba, so his Hayatul Sahaba lecture was very, very good. Before that, one of the other elders also gave a bayan, and notices is that the people sit with a great amount of attention and listen very carefully. The translations are also well attended, and what they do nowadays in the translation very often is they give a separate bayan instead of translating, to keep the attention of the crowd. Some other experienced person will speak in English and give a talk to those people listening in the English section, which I think in a way is a good idea, especially if you can't see the main speaker. Molana, in the morning when I went for Fajr, after Fajr was Molana Ibrahim Devla Bayan, and he gave an excellent talk, and he dealt with a great number of very pertinent issues, I thought. For example, he said, look, the idea about this work and about doing the work is not to become a responsible brother or a zimmedar. The idea is to become one of the people who do the work, an ordinary person who does the work. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion, when they set camp somewhere, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out and he went to fetch the firewood. And somebody asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, leave it to us, we will go and fetch it." He said, "I'm only one of the believers. I'm part of the Muslimin. I'm part of the brothers." So he said, be a brother, be a part of the people. Don't take up a type of responsibility now that you feel that you are somebody or you've done the work. He said, That is not the purpose. You see, he said, be from among the Muslims, be from among the ordinary people. And then he dwelt on some very important things. He said, what about things like paying your salah properly, paying your zakah properly, giving your zakah properly? He said, zakah is not in the five amals that you have to do every day, but it is something before all those five amals and more important than those five amals. What I'm saying, Mona, is I'm not trying to detract from those five amals, but what we are saying is that, you know, these, he said, were the important things in life. In other words, make sure that he for example, stressed, he said, how can you sell something to somebody when you know that the item is defective? Money that you're getting from there is in a sense haram. And he said, that no usul in this tabligh, but that is something that you have to do. That is part of your life. You cannot live where on the one hand you say you're linked to the work and you're doing the work, and on the other hand you're selling defective goods. So I think it's very hard hitting, Moran, in a sense, but very, I think very, very important for all of us, Moran, in that sense. And you know, his ideas. Maulana Ibrahim Devla, rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah Ta'ala has granted him Damat Barakatuh, Allah Ta'ala has granted him a great clarity. When Maulana Ibrahim speaks, he speaks with a great deal of clarity, and alhamdulillah, we had some opportunity to go sit with him in his room as well, and meet with him, and at least for a little while, take his duas. He's well appreciated and well liked in Qatar. People appreciate his talk. Moreover, the atmosphere around Nizamuddin is also something very, very unique. You know, all the vendors selling things are around there, the hustle and the bustle of the place, people coming in and going, and then you see a group of people coming in to visit the Nizamuddin Awliya Dargah as well, and it's not a quiet place, Mullah, at any time. it's a fascinating place. You can sit outside and just watch what goes on in the area. There's people trying to sell almost anything and everything there, there's people who are sincere and who come there and spend the time very, very well. There's people who are hidden gems in there, you know, the muqims who are there who don't want to even be known. I met a person, three men jamaat from Russia. I mean, if you looked at that Russian brother there, you'd say, you know, he you could take him off the streets of one of a white suburb in Pretoria, I think, and you know, the first was that he had a beard, you know. But this is really the barakah of this work and the greatness of this deed. The people from all walks of life and all shapes and sizes all come together here with one common concern, with one common fikr, the concern and the worry for the entire mankind. And really, this is something that we have to appreciate, that we have this in our lives, and we have this in our time to really be the ship of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam in these times for us and our younger generation, alhamdulillah. But also next to Nizamuddin is the Mazar and the academy of Ghalib. The Ghalib Academy is right next to. People don't know this, but we know Ghalib was this famous poet, Urdu poet. So there's a library there as well. it's the Ghalib Academy library. There's a big collection of books on Ghalib, and also on his works, some of his own works and books related to Ghalib. And the academy is used very often by some of our own ulama to have seminars and workshops, what have you. In the courtyard, there's the mausoleum of Mirza Ghalib. Beautiful, you know, like in Delhi, every corner has got this Mughal architecture and the imposing Mughal catacombs and domes. So you see all of that there, just a few steps away from the Markaz in Nizamuddin. So I'm not making tashkil, Malala.
You can't, because you haven't given some time there, Malala. Gee, interesting. And what are some of the books you managed to achieve or read or you pick up on?
Gee, Mawlana, alhamdulillah, there is now, you know, the academy themselves, you know, there was a famous, what they do is they launch a book during the course of the seminar. The book of Izharul Haqq, we know the famous Izharul Haqq of Mawlana Kiranwi rahmatullahi alayh. That Izharul Haqq was published many times, and we know it's been translated, and in fact many orators and many debaters like Ahmad Didat and others have always used Izharul Haqq. Izharul Haqq has always been the basis for Muslims to debate Christians. Now, there was at the time there was a type of a sharh of that was written, a commentary on Izharul Haqq, and it improved on the original text quite a bit, and that has been made available now in Urdu in four volumes. So alhamdulillah, we were able to acquire that book from the Islamic Fiqh Academy. The Islamic Fiqh Academy itself have a books stall at the display at the Islamic, you know, at the seminar, and there they had a number of books and I think our muftis and people who are interested in matters of fiqh will do themselves a favor if they acquire these books, and these books, you know, they will gladly post it to you. For myself, I was very interested in a book that they had reprinted of Mawlana Thani rahmatullahi alayh, that dealt with how to deal with Quran and the approach to the Quran, especially things like the mutashabihat, etc. So they published a book on Ulumul Quran by Mawlana Thani rahmatullahi alayh. They have a number of other very, very good publications. Mona, then there is a series of two books that have been printed in that ulama might be interested in. There's one book, Hadith or Sunnah Mefarq, and this book has been published in other, The Difference of Hadith and Sunnah. It's a collection of the works of Mawlana Sayyid Ahmed Paranpuri and Muhammad Amin Safdar from Pakistan. Now, the ulama may be interested to know that there is a read on this and a answer of this that has come from Dioban, and when Dioban, I was able to acquire response to this, because this is quite a contentious issue at the moment, that what constitutes the Sunnah, how do we define Sunnah, and how do we define Hadith vis-a-vis the fiqh. So I think that was an important debate. In terms of English books for our readers, there were so many. The Fiqh Academy itself have got a number of now, including publications on the environment, on water, on other issues, and I mean, here in India, there's no dearth of Islamic literature. They have prepared literature for Sikhs. They have prepared literature, Dawah literature for Hindus. They have prepared literatures for Qadianis, which are really posing a great. Mawlana, while I was in Saharanpur, I was able to visit a madrasa called Jamia to Tayyibat. This is the biggest girls madrasa there. And this madrasa is run by Mawlana Yaqub, Muhammad Yaqub Bulan Shari. It's a wonderful big institution, Mawlana, alhamdulillah. And we were able to speak to some of the asatiza and the students there. And later, Mawlana Yaqub Bulan Shari invited me to a meeting in Delhi, where they had gathered some of the ulama to discuss some of problems regarding ta'aleem and problems regarding Muslims in the country. And this was done under the auspices of Mawlana Isa Mansouri. He is a senior alim who lives and works. He's got an academy called World Islamic Forum in India and in the UK. And they were taking the Karguzaris and the reports of some of the places, and it was really shocking to know that in Amritsar, for example, there that's a place in the Punjab where there are a number of Sikhs. The Sikhs, Molana, now are divided into two groups. There is one group that don't have any or too many visible expressions of their religion. We know that Sikhs tattoo their hands. They have a tattoo on their hands showing that they are Sikh, and then they wear the big turban. Many of these people don't even have that tattoo. They don't use any music in their bhajans or in their songs. They have a way of showing almost Islamic-like akhlaq. If some, you know, they don't, they help everybody. They in so many ways, they are like Muslims. And this is causing a problem because many people are now becoming influenced by them. And as it is, there was this, you know, growing number of Sikhs there. In their temple, there's, they would spend 2 or 3 hours every day just speaking about how bad Aurangzeb rahmatullah alayhi was, and the fact that he was such a curse and such a problem to India. And this is something common, Molana, right through now. You know, the suppression of the Mughal history is so evident. You can't miss it. If you come into Delhi, you can see everything Mughal, everything that's got to do with Islam's rise, descendancy, the greatness of Islam, the greatness of the Muslim rulers, all of that is completely suppressed. You know, it's just about Hindu nationalism and Indian nationalism now. You know, and you've probably been following what Maulana Madani, Maulana Arshad Madani, and these people are saying regarding this, you know. But in any case, these Sikhs are now, you know, taking on a lot of Muslims, converting Muslims, and the other problem that these people face is that a number of Qadianis have taken over almost as representatives of Islam. So people think that Islam is Qadiani Islam. You know, Qadianism.
There's
no distinction.
Unfortunately, we have run out of time, and
Mufti Zubair has given us enough time, Molana. But thank you very much, Molana. Just to say that these people face their own challenges in India, and lots of these challenges are very similar to the type of challenges that we as minorities face in India. But all in all, Molana, I think we were able to, in terms of books and for the book review program today, we were able to, alhamdulillah,
give a comprehensive report, mashallah.
Thank you for the opportunity, Molana. Jazakumullah.
Okay. Jazakumullah, Molana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.